Okay, so we're going to do something. We're going to do a sicha this week. It's in Hebrew. I will translate it, of course, and explain. A sicha is a talk from the Rebbe on the parsha. Before we get to this, actually, it's an interesting parsha this week, of course. Very timely in many reasons. One of them is that Avraham Avinu actually purchases a part of Eretz Yisrael. Purchases the Cave of Machpelah to bury Sarah. And what's fascinating is that there are three times in Tanakh where a piece of Eretz Yisrael was actually bought, meaning the whole Eretz Yisrael was promised to Avraham Avinu. But there was three times that actually a portion was actually bought. One was Hebron, that was the first one. Ma'arsa Machpelah was actually bought, contractually bought by Avraham Avinu. The second is Shechem, which was the burial place of Yosef. When the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, Shechem, what we know today as Cave of Shechem, which is not extremely accessible, was actually bought by the Yidden from the people of Shechem. It was bought actually originally, and it was designated as the burial of Yosef. And then finally, David HaMelech bought the Temple Mount. Harabais, right? David HaMelech was the one to conquer Yerushalayim. And he bought, belonged to someone called Aravna Hayavusi. David HaMelech collected money from all the tribes, all the 12 tribes, and bought that to be the spot for the Beis HaMikdash. And what's interesting is that Dafka, the three places that were bought by money, are the most contested places in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the whole thing's contested, but just interesting. Okay. However, we're going to focus on the first pasuk and in one more pasuk in the parsha, which is going to be the subject of this talk, and it creates a whole formula. It's not just about a pirush and a parsha. It's not a parsha shi in that way, but it's really creates a formula of how we serve Hashem. So, let's begin. We'll do the parts that are highlighted. Just makes it easy that way, and I'll explain some of the stuff outside. So, we're at the following. Ala pasuk vayu chaya Sarah. So, we know that the pasuk says, this was the life of Sarah, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, and it says at the end of the pasuk, Shnei Chaye Sarah. These were the years of Sarah. So there's a very interesting medrash. Maybe Ham Medrash, the medrash brings Esa Pasuk, the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim. But the Pasuk says, Yodeya Hashem Yimei Samimim. Hashem knows the days of the perfect ones. And the medrash continues in Mefarish and explains, Kashem Shein Tmimim, Kashnoi Son Tmimim. That just the tzaddikim, just like they are perfect, so are the years perfect. And umevi dugma lakach misara, and it brings an example from Sarah, sheshnoiseha hayu temimois, that her years were perfect. What does that mean? Shlo nigra me'umo mehashonim shenikpetzula. That was, nothing was detracted from the years that she was allotted. In other words, the time that she was supposed to live, that's the time that she lived, nothing was lacking. Just as she was perfect, her years were perfect, and that's what the Medrash says. Which is, I'm not going to go through the whole question now, but it's actually a very big question what this means, because, first of all, Dafka Sarah, now why does the Medrash say Dafka by Sarah? Because Rashi brings something, a famous thing, and actually at the first glance, Dafka Sarah was missing from her years. Right, you know what I'm talking about? There's a Medrash, famous Medrash. Why Sarah's death right after the end of last week's parasha, which is the Akedah, where Avraham Avinu brings up Yitzchak as a, yeah? So the Medrash says, because what happened was that the Satan, right, the Malach HaMavet Satan came to Sarah and said, is Avraham home? Is Yitzchak home? She said, no, do you know where they are? So she says, no, I'll tell you where she is. Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah. And it says that she died. She got a fright and she died, right? There's two mefarshim, what that means, why did she die? Either from pain, that Yitzchak was killed or offered up at the Mizbeach. Actually, there's another svarim say that actually was from simcha, from joy. That she was so joyous that Avraham Avinu had been tested and Yitzchak had been tested. Don't forget it was a test for Yitzchak also. He was 37 by the Akedah. Like if you read the Chumash, it sounds like it was a small child. It wasn't a small child, he was 37. And he didn't resist, and he went along with it because that's what Hashem wanted. And Sarah was so excited that that actually happened, that they passed the test, that she died. There's a whole good story in Ksubas, and sometimes from fright, from joy, it's not broken slowly, sometimes that can have an adverse effect. Okay. The problem, of course, is that what does it mean then her years are perfect? I mean, it seems like she died prematurely because she had a fright, right? So the first was explained, that's what the Midrash is trying to say, that even though she seemed to die at a fright from the Akedah, but actually it was the right time. That was the time she was going to die anyways, right? Which then creates, I'm just going to mention this briefly because just to make sense of it. So it creates a question, then why did the Malach HaMavis try so hard to make sure that she dies from fright? If anyway she was going to die at that moment, why would he do that, right? So I saw a fascinating shot just a few days ago. That, you know, the Satan tried to prevent Avraham Avinu from doing the Akedah altogether. There's a whole Medrash, he made a river, and Avraham Avinu to cross it, the whole thing, right? Tried to, his best secret, why? Because the Satan knew that's his job, to prevent people from doing mitzvahs, but especially such a mitzvah. He knew that the Akedah would be so special that for the other generations, we're going to use the Akedah, right? It's the schus, the merit of the Akedah is going to be amazing. We still daven, till today, we daven Rosh Hashanah, Hashem should remember the Akedah. Every day we have an Akedah, right? So he was unsuccessful, so he figured at least, let me try and diminish the schus. So what did he do? He tried to make sure that Sarah, she was going to die at that moment anyway, but he tried to make sure that she dies from fright. So that should be like the cause of death, right? So when Avraham Avinu comes back and he finds out what happened, he might regret the Akedah a little bit. If you do a mitzvah and you regret it, that's a problem, right? So a person shouldn't regret a mitzvah, because you regret a mitzvah, it takes away from the schus, from the merit of the mitzvah, right? See, well, that's what he was trying to do. He was unsuccessful at that too, but that's how the whole thing fits together. Okay. So, the Medrash reads that just like tzaddikim are perfect, their days are perfect. But the truth is, Sarah wasn't the only one, right? I mean, the chiddush maybe is by Sarah. Sarah wasn't the only one. So the question is, why is it specifically by Sarah? Why is this concept highlighted specifically by Sarah Imeinu? Okay. So we're going to leave Sarah now for a while, and we're going to go on to something else, and then come back to Sarah at the end. Because we'll see it was a bit of a partnership between Sarah and Avraham. So go to the next page, the highlighted part where it says, Beparsha Zu. Sorry, that's right. So it's page 26. Right? You see there, Parsha Zu? Yeah, okay. So he writes the following. But Parsha Zu, you got it at all?
No.
That's not the other one. No. Yeah, there, that one. Oh, on top it says 26, yeah. Sorry, it was copied funny. But Parsha Zu, in this Parsha, Amar Medrash ala Pasuk, there's another Medrash on a different Pasuk. Famous Pasuk that says, Avram Zokein Bo Bayomim. Right, this is the Pasuk that introduces the story of Avram Avinu sending Eliezer to find a Shidduch for Yitzchak, right? So it says, Avram Zokein, Avram was old, Bo Bayomim, coming with his days. Strange expression, coming with his days. Says the Medrash, Yeshlacha Adam, you sometimes have a person Shehu Bezikna that is old, but he doesn't have all these days. But Yomim, sometimes you have Yomim, you have days, but Ve'ena Zikna. You have days, but you don't have old age. In other words, you don't like the experience. So I'll tell you the simple pshat. I mean, we're going to learn a whole nother pshat in the Medrash, but the simple pshat is, because I looked it up, the Medrash, and the Mepharshim over there. So it says, for example, you have the story, you know, we say it on Pesach, the story of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, where he became old suddenly to be dignified so that he should look important so that he should be appointed the Sanhedrin, the head of the Sanhedrin, right? You know the story? That's why he said, I'm like 70 years old, but he wasn't actually 70 years old because he was 18, but he was appointed the head of the Sanhedrin, but he didn't have any prestigious looks. Hashem made his beard go white, right? So you have sometimes a person has the presence of an old person, but he doesn't have the experience of an old person, right? He doesn't have old age. Or sometimes you have the other way around. You have a person who's got a lot of experience, but he doesn't look it. He looks too young. And if he doesn't command the respect, he doesn't look venerable, right? That's what the Medrash seems to be saying. Avlo Kandra over here says the Medrash, Zikna keneged Yomim, Yomim keneged Zikna. Over here you have the word Zikna, which means old age, juxtaposed to the word days next to the word Zikna. Yochali is Adam, because sometimes you can have a person sheyeshloi echad mishneim, that he only has one of the two, or Zokein, always actually old, or Baba Yomim, always actually has the days to come with it. Aval Avram, but Avram Avinu hayu shneim, he had both Zokein and Baba Yomim. He had old age and he came with his days. Okay, I forgot actually that skip out the next paragraph, because it just says about the Rav Lazar ben Azariah, and I explained it already. Okay. So go to the next one, which says Gimel. You see that? Yeah. Okay. So give another a much, much deeper pshat in this, right? Because it's interesting that this medrash, Avraham Avinu was the first yid, right? Everything that happened to Avraham Avinu is very significant. I mean, generally we say whatever happened to the patriarchs and the matriarchs, the Ovis and the Mois, it's like a siman for what happens for our journey, right? So the whole journey of Klal Yisrael really happens to the Ovis first. That's what the whole thing of Avraham Avinu going to Mitzrayim once it comes to, like last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, once he comes to the Eretz Yisrael, he has to go back to Egypt. That's like the Golos of going to Egypt. The Paray was plagued. His house was plagued. That's like a 10 plagues. Lots of things that Ramban talks about this a lot. Lots of things that happened to the Ovis, the whole fight of Yaakov, for example, and the Malach Yaakov and the angel of Esav throughout a long night. There's the anti-Semitism which happens throughout the long night of Golos. Then the day comes, the day breaks, and there's healing. Right? Everything that happens to the Ovis is really a symbol, not only a symbol, but actually paves the way for being able to experience whatever we experience. Okay. So therefore, this kind of thing that he was old and he came with days and he had both old age and he had days, it seems somewhat of a superficial thing. It's not like such a deep, significant, groundbreaking idea that we need to know from Avraham Avinu. And that seems a bit odd, right? So in the Sikha, he goes and explains a whole nother pshat in what this means. Another pshat in these two ideas of Zokein and Bo Bayom. Okay, that's what we're going to focus on now. So just everyone comfortable with the phrase, yeah? Zokin means old. Oh, we think it means old. We'll see in a second what it means. and Bo Bayomim means coming with the days. Okay. So this is like this. Razal Meforshim, there are places in Chazal where they explain, right? It's Gimel over there with the Alay. Es Hamailu Shol Zokin and Bo Bayomim, the great attributes of Zokin and Bo Bayomim. Zokein, the word Zokein, actually means Zeh Shekono Chochme, the sign of wisdom, of learning. Now we know this because, you know, there's a pasuk in Kedoshim where it says you're supposed to stand up for an old person. An old person works, you're supposed to stand up. But it actually says two things in that pasuk. It says, V'hardarta mipnei seivo tokum, you should get up in front of an old person. And then it says, V'hardarta b'nei Zokein, you should respect a Zokein, which also seems to be an old person. What's the difference? So we learn that the word Zokin doesn't mean old necessarily. Zokin means a person who has amassed a lot of learning, a lot of wisdom. Zokin is almost an acronym for Zeh Shekono Chochma. Kufnuni Shekono, you acquire. Someone has acquired wisdom. Okay? That's what Zokin means. Boba Yomim, what does Boba Yomim mean? What does it mean to come with your days? It doesn't mean you're old. It doesn't mean that your passport says you're old. It means Bo Im Kol Yomov, that you have what to show with all of your days. In other words, every day is filled with something good, right? Meaning, Shalahoyo Chaser Yoim Echad. What does it mean in terms of Avraham Avinu? And number one, he was old, meaning he was wise. He was filled with Torah learning. Also, he was Boba Yomim, which means Shalahoyo Chaser Yoim Echad Shaboy Loikim Avram Mitzvahs. Not one day was missing that Avraham Avinu didn't fulfill a mitzvah. Misug HaMitzvah Shohi Bismani. Obviously, we're talking about the type of mitzvahs that he was able to do in his time, which is Lifnei Matan Torah, before the Torah was given. What does that mean? Like this. So he explains it as he breaks it down. Here we go to a very important idea. Pirushay Sholdavar. Shashtei Mailis Eilu. These two ideas. Nechlokas Lishnei Sugim Shoinim. These things are not just two things. They're two completely different categories. What does that mean? Mailis Zokein. When we talk about the attribute of Zokein, that means that's got to do more with the perfection of his soul, right? If I learn a lot of Torah, it's for my spirituality. It refines me, it elevates me, it means my mind is filled with Hashem's wisdom, it means my soul is saturated with the Kedusha, with the holiness of Torah, and it creates the perfection, the shleimus of a person's neshama, right? That's what Torah does. Shekono chachma v'nafshei. He acquires wisdom in his soul. Umaylas Boba Yomim, what's the idea of coming with your days, the mitzvahs we say? It means, Inyon hu shepoyol vehimshich besoy chayomim shekol yoy mila b'mitzvahs. That's not Avraham Avinu's perfection. It means the perfection or the kedusha that he brought into the days. Essentially, what the Rebbe is talking about over here is like this, that Torah is the perfection of the person. Mitzvahs is the perfection or the impact you have on the world around you. Right? And explains it a bit more now. It's like this. Ubazeh yuvan adiyuk, and this is why we explain what the nuance of the medrash that bo bayomim means shekol yoyim mule b'mitzvahs, that every day is filled with mitzvahs. Why? Because ilu kiyum. Why is it important that every day should have mitzvahs? Right. Let's think about this for a second. In other words, let's say a person is born, he has to learn Torah, has to do mitzvahs, but they're both for his perfection. And let's say a person is born, let's say with a quota, theoretically, of how many mitzvahs he has to do, she has to do. Right. The truth is, why does it have to be every day? You can have like intense days of mitzvahs and then take it easy the other days, right? But it's not like that. Why? It's just like this. Because this is what we explain. Shekol yom mulu mitzvahs. Ilu kiyum mitzvahs are yochoshev rak lishleimus nishmosai. If fulfillment of mitzvahs would only be for the perfection and the upgrading of one's soul, it wouldn't be a difference if he does the mitzvahs in one day or in many days. Wouldn't make a difference, as long as he's reaching the connection through as many mitzvahs he's supposed to do. Now obviously that wouldn't be true with all mitzvahs, because some mitzvahs are daily. Right? So you have to daven every day, a man has to put on tefillin every day. But let's say the other mitzvahs, I don't know. Let's say with the mitzvahs of tzedakah. So you give a lot of tzedakah in one day and then not give tzedakah for 3 months. Right? He's achieving the same elevation in his soul. Right? Because shekem b'yachas nishbosik, because in relation to his soul, hari yesh lo oisa mitzvah and mitzvahs. There's the same number of mitzvahs. So what's the pshat? Like this. Because Baba Yomim means pulu b'yomim. Because Baba Yom doesn't mean he just does mitzvahs. It means that it's for his perfection. B'yomim means it means the perfection that he's bringing into the days. That's why it says every day was filled with mitzvahs. Because every day needs to be elevated. Doesn't matter if I do mitzvahs yesterday. The day needs its own mitzvahs. So what's the pshat? He explains. He's like this. Let's explain this. Ha-hevdol b'cholos min Torah and mitzvahs. Just generally, what's the difference between Torah and mitzvahs, right? Now, what we're about to learn, by the way, is one idea. Of course, when a person does a mitzvah, it's good for his soul also, right? That's obvious. In fact, we say, why is a mitzvah called mitzvah? Because it comes to the Aramaic word of tzavta. Right? Mitzvah means a commandment, but it also comes from the Aramaic word called tzavsa, the Hebrew. Tzavsa means connection. You know, every time we do a mitzvah, we connect ourselves more to Hashem, right? Which is an amazing thing. That sounds almost like the same thing like Torah, that I'm connecting to Hashem in a different way. But what he's saying here, that's true. And by the way, conversely, Torah works the other way also. Torah is not just the elevation of my soul. It's true that when I learn Torah, when anyone learns Torah, they inject a tremendous kedusha into the world. Right? That's what we've been talking about, for example, learning extra Torah for the merit of the soldiers, for example. Why? Because the Gemara in Sota says that Torah brings protection. What does it mean? Torah infuses the world with a certain kedusha that is protective, right? So it's not only that Torah is for my own perfection, whether it's mitzvahs is for the world. They're both for both, really. However, it is true at the same time that each one has its emphasis. In other words, Yiddishkeit is based on Torah and mitzvahs, both together. We need both, as we'll soon see. And each one has an emphasized goal. Okay? Yeah, makes sense? Okay, that's okay. Let's see. Look at this. Hevdol b'cholos ben Torah mitzvahs adalad, right? Hevdol b'cholos ben Torah mitzvahs su, she'Torah chachmasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Torah? Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, which means he's seichel v'ruchnis. It's not tangible. Torah is very spiritual, right? Even intellect in general, even any subject, the truth is like that, right? You know, it's interesting, very often in Chassidus, when he wants to bring an analogy that we can relate to about something spiritual, we don't understand spirituality, right? We know that it exists, but we don't know what it is, right? I mean, some people say they feel spiritual, but no one can explain what it is exactly, right? But it's something not tangible, obviously, right? So, for example, we say that spirituality is a real thing, it exists, it just doesn't take up space and time, right? And it's hard for us to understand. What do you mean? How can you not live in space and time? Because our frame of reference is space and time, right? So in Chassidus, when it wants to give a mashal to understand it, the closest thing that we have to ruchnis is intellect, an idea, right? Think of an idea. If you have an idea, for example, can that idea exist in two places at once? Yeah. I can have this idea here, and the person in that room can have the same idea, exactly the same idea, identical idea. It's an idea, it's a concept. The concept exists in two places at the same time. Why? Because it's ruchni, it's more spiritual, right? And therefore doesn't not bound by space and time. Yeah? So that's intellect in general. Torah, how much more so? Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, right? So the idea of Torah is pure ruchnis, it's pure spirituality. Right? Validesh Adam Loimer Torah. And therefore, because a person learns Torah, Nosefer Shleimus Benafshei, his soul is elevated. The soul is ruchni, the soul is spiritual. And the soul is invigorated, the soul is elevated, the soul is strengthened through learning Torah. That's what Torah is. So Torah, by definition, is a dover ruchni, it's a spiritual thing. Mitzvahs, on the other hand, melubosheh sein bidvarim gashmim. The definition of a mitzvah, for the most part, actually all mitzvahs really, what's the definition of a mitzvah? That's connected to something tangible. That's what Jewish religion is about, right? Even though there are certain mitzvahs that are more ruchni, for example, give me an example of a spiritual mitzvah. Sorry? Yeah, it's also a mitzvah, correct. Davening is a mitzvah. Love of Hashem. Right? You don't do that with an object, right? But the truth is, they're all connected with Gashmis. So for us, Torah and Tefillah, that's a good question. Torah and Tefillah is a good point. We know that you don't actually fulfill the mitzvah of Torah or for Tefillah unless you actually say the words. And Chazal say in Gemara that saying words is like doing an action. So again, it's like more physical. Like, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Tefillah with meditation. You've got to actually say the words, right? I mean, Kavanah is very important, by definition. And the Friedrich Rebbe brings down that even the mitzvahs which are belev, which are in the heart, like Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, the real mitzvah is only fulfilled when you feel it physically. Like you feel a physical love, for example, right? When you have a love in a relationship, for example, you can feel it. It's a tangible feeling. You feel it in your guf. Yeah, so it's more spiritual than other mitzvahs, but even those mitzvahs are considered, they have to have a physical component. Right? Okay, so Torah is all about ruchnis. Mitzvahs is all about gashmis, and then besides those mitzvahs, I mean, most of the mitzvahs are all gashmis, right? It's about taking a physical candle, lying on a Shabbos, taking a physical parchment, making a mezuzah, right? It's all gashmis, it's all physical. And therefore, v'inyonim be'ikr, and therefore mainly, the purpose of mitzvahs ain't no kol kach l'tzorah shleimus nafsha. The purpose of mitzvahs is not only, and not mainly for the elevation and perfection of my soul, which is ruchnis. Because that's much more about illuminating the physical world, elevating the physical world. The last so you say, menu and make from the world, dira lo yizbarach betachtoinim, a dwelling place for Hashem, right? Let's just explain a little bit. So we know that one of the foundations of Hasidus is this idea that the purpose of creation is to make a dira betachtoinim. Dira betachtoinim means that you make a dwelling place for Hashem in the lower form of existence, right? Down here. What does it mean low? What does it mean low, high? There's no low and high by Hashem. It means the most tangible, the most finite, and the most concealing entity. The part of the world that conceals Hashem the most, right? Which is Gashmis. And that's why Hashem wanted to be invited into and he wanted to live there. How do we do that? Through mitzvahs. I mean, there's other things too, but mainly through mitzvahs. Mitzvah, we take a dover gashmi, we take a physical thing, and you do a mitzvah with it, you're bringing Hashem into the physical thing. You're revealing Hashem into the physical world, right? So, dira betachtoinim, dwelling place for Hashem, is mainly created through mitzvahs, not through Torah. Right? We know that the neshama, after it leaves this world, learns Torah. What does it do? It learns Torah. It doesn't do mitzvahs. Learns Torah, right? So you can learn Torah at all levels. You can only mitzvah at this level. Right? Say the Vilna Gaon, they say, when he was about to pass away, on the third day of Sukkot, the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, his yahrzeit, the Vilna Gaon, he was on his death, but he took hold of his tzitzis. And he was upset, he was crying, he said, you're leaving a world that for a few pennies you can do a mitzvah like tzitzis. Going to a world that's amazing, you'll be able to infinitely understand Hashem's Torah, but you can't do a mitzvah.
Get to do it,
yeah. It's like Shema and it's things you say. It's actually a bracha. It's things you say, like Yividui and also confirming your faith in Hashem and all that, yeah. Great tzaddikim were much more aware of when they were about to go, you know, that kind of thing. And then,
my Joshua's late grandfather was passing away, and he made the rabbi come.
And he said the whole thing. Yeah, that's a big schuss. But that's nothing happened. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, a lot of people like it. Yeah. But so the Vilna Gaon was one of those great people. I mean, he just he died when he died, but he was conscious before, and he was able to do that, take care of his tzitzis and say, "What a world!" You know. Okay. Good. So there we say like this. Okay. So now we can understand like this. The fikach. So now we go back to that pasuk, right? Avraham Avinu was zokein, and it was bo bayom. So zokein refers to Torah, bo bayom refers to mitzvahs. Now let's understand even better how it fits into the words, because k'medubra b'chachma, when it talks about chachma, which is Torah, halashnu shekona chachma, he acquired wisdom. Who kolat, meaning he acquired within himself. Who kolat chachmas Torah b'nafshei? He acquired the wisdom for himself, so it elevated him, his neshama. K'shemedubar b'mitzvahs, haloshen baba yom. It talks about mitzvahs, haloshen, he came with his days. What do you mean? Al yedei kiyum ha-mitzvahs u-po'al zichuch b'toich oylam hazeh. Because through doing mitzvahs, it wasn't his acquisition, mitzvahs had a different purpose. Mitzvahs brought refinement to the world, to this world, right? Sh'oylam b'geder shol zman yomim. And how do you define this world? What's the definition of this world? Time and space. Right, I'll just show you an interesting thing that he talks about somewhere else. What was the first mitzvah that Eden got as a nation? Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of a calendar. Right? Yeah. Why? Because this world, by definition, is defined by time and space. Right? Which were both created at the very beginning of creation. Hashem created the world. There's no time before the world. It's l'maylem l'zman. It's higher than time. Difficult for us to understand such a thing, but it's higher than time, right? When Hashem created the world, he introduced the concept of time and space, meaning space, that something begins here and ends here, takes up space, takes, right? The Rebbe, in a very deep sikh, explains that there's a depth in this idea of Baba Yomim, what he's saying here. Explains like this, that actually although they were both created simultaneously, but theoretically, in concept, if you had to say one has to come first, which one would you say? Time. Why?
Without time, there's nothing.
Yeah, that. And also, because if you talk about space, space means it starts here and ends here. Space can only exist in time. Right? The fact that it starts here and ends here really means time. In other words, it begins here. There's a beginning and end. As soon as you say beginning and end, there's time, really, right? Okay. Now, we were given a mission to bring a locus, to bring godliness into the world. If we define the world as time and space, so space would be like things like objects. So we have to sanctify objects like a mezuzah, like a tefillin, like a candle for Shabbos, like a coin for tzedakah, right? That's true. But it's not enough just to sanctify space, because that's only part of the world. We have to sanctify time also. That's why we have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Right? And the mitzvah of sanctifying every day. And that's why over here, when the Torah wants to refer to mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu does, he says, Bo Bayom. That's why it's so important to do every day, to serve Hashem every single day. Especially because of the time aspect, right? Yeah? Another thing, why time is so important, why time represents this world. One of the things that's true about this world is, which is different to the spiritual world, is that it's finite, which means there's changes. Things don't last eternally in this world. Both in objects, things decay, things don't last forever. And also time, we know there's sometimes hot days and cold days and good days and bad days, right? So time is up and down. Time has shin. That's why a year is called a shana. Comes to the word shinui. Changes, different seasons, different times, different night, day, and so on, right? That's a property of this physical world. So Baba Yomi means that you do mitzvahs to elevate the world. What is the world? The world a place of time and space, time even coming before space, and a place of shinui, a place of changing. Right? So Avraham Avinu was able to learn Torah, Zokein, for his own perfection. And he brought Hashem into the world through mitzvahs. That's our thing of Bo Bayomim, which is what you do into the place of time, place of change, and this physical world. Right? That's the idea of, that's the deeper translation of this pasuk, Avram Hoya Zokein Bo Bayomim. Okay. Now, why is that so significant? So now go to the next highlighted part. Hey. The point he's going to make here, we find Avraham Avinu always is Avraham Avinu, right? But he wasn't the first tzaddik. You know that. I mean, give me an example of a tzaddik came before Avraham Avinu. Noach. Another tzaddik. Sorry?
Adam.
Adam, yeah. Mesushelach. Shem, Noach's son. Shem and Aver. They had a yeshiva, they taught Torah. Right? Chanoich, who died early because Hashem took him away from this world. They were tzaddikim before Avraham Avinu. But now let's see the greatness of Avraham Avinu. He says like this. Zuhoi sagdulase shel Avraham Avinu. This was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Shehoyu bo shtei hamailos yachad. He had both these perfections together. Zikna shleimus atzmis. He was able to have the idea of zikna, which is self-perfection and self-refinement. Ubayomim, and he was able to bring elokus into the world. He says, "Afshe shnei dvarim ha'im shnei sugim shonim." They're actually completely different. Umenugadim legarmi. In fact, sometimes they oppose each other. To be able to do both properly is very hard. Ve'ein hakol yechayim lagiel l'shteim adreges ke'echam. Not everyone could reach both these ideas at once. Dealing with yourself is more inward. Dealing with the outside is more outward. It's very different. Different personality, different idea, different focus. Right. By the way, it's not just limited to Torah. Mitzvahs. Torah is what symbolizes self perfection. Mitzvahs is what symbolizes influence, impact on the outer environment, right? And they're both different. Avraham Avinu's greatness was Avraham Zaken Baba Yom, had them both. Right? Now, I'll just share with the outside, interesting thing, just to show how this is sometimes difficult to achieve both. We're going to go to page 28. You see that one with the yellow line down the side? On the top it says 28, yeah? Yeah, is the yellow line down the side? No, you got the wrong page. The one that says 28 on it. Okay. There we are. So I'm not going to tell you, I won't go to the inside, I'll tell you outside. So he brings a fascinating thing. You know the author of the Shulchan Aruch? The original Shulchan Aruch, the author of Shulchan Aruch is called the Mechaber. His name was Rabbi Yosef Karo. Yosef Karo was a fascinating person, a big Kabbalist. He was a big Mekubal, lived in Tzfas. Those who've been in Tzfas, there's a shul called the Yosef Shul. Very, very beside. Yosef Karo had a chavrusa with a malach. He had a malach, an angel that came and taught him Torah, called the Magid. And there's a sefer, there's a book that brings down a lot of the stuff that he learned from them. It's called Magid Mishra. You know, it was over there, there was a very fascinating piece. There's a fascinating piece that says that Bais Yosef worked out that he would reach his absolute perfection if he would be given the opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. To be killed al Kiddush Hashem. Right? This is not everyone's aspiration. I'm just saying, this was Bais Yosef. Like Rabbi Akiva also said, when he was tortured to death, he said, "I waited my whole life for this. Because to die sanctifying Hashem's name is like the most amazing thing. It's like the most amazing shlemus, right?" And he was given that, he was granted that gift. He was supposed to be granted that gift. And then something happened. This is what's written there. And the Beis Yosef did something that on his level was considered wrong. And Hashem took away that gift from him. And he lived much longer. As a result of living longer, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, which we learn today, every day. Right? I mean, every day, whatever, we learn a lot. Right? Now, the Shulchan Aruch had to be written. What would have happened if Bais Yosef would have died HaKiddush Hashem? Someone else would have written the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Because the Shulchan Aruch had to be written, right? At the end, he had a schus to write the Shulchan Aruch. So, the Rebbe brings this as an example that sometimes you can't have everything. Dying on Kiddush Hashem, it was the supreme self-perfection. Writing a Shulchan Aruch was an amazing impact on the world. He wrote a book for people how to live, according to Torah, right? And even in his case, he wasn't able to do both. It was one or the other. He was either going to die on Kiddush Hashem, or he was going to write the Shulchan Aruch, one of the two, right? He chose Kiddush Hashem, and then it was taken away from him, and he ended up writing the Shulchan Aruch. He just brings us an example where you see these two things are different, right? And just in personality, also different. You, when you see people that are sometimes their focus is complete self-divine service, right? But by the way, we need those people, right? Because they're very important. You see, we need both. But I mean, there are people in Eretz Yisrael today, for example, if you go to Yerushalayim, you'll find them in the corners of the old city somewhere, or in Sfas. If you go to Yerushalayim, you'll see people sitting in a shul all day, every day, learning that no one knows about them. They're massive Talmid HaChamim. They know the whole Shas. They're unbelievable people. No one knows about them. No one talks to them. But they know. They're around. Why? They're serving Hashem. They have an impact on the world. Not much. But they're... Right? But they're reaching amazing self-perfection. Then you have people that are different, that they've given their whole life to inspire others. Maybe because of that, they're lacking a bit in the self-perfection. Because they have to give up, they have to give away. Right? Okay, so there is a Lekut Torah that brings down if a person really dedicates his time to help others and he makes sure to set aside time for his own self-perfection, then his self-perfection will be accelerated and he won't lose out. Okay, but that's, you know, that's a difficult thing. But the concepts are very different. He says like this: Al Pizeh. So why was Avraham Avinu? Why Avraham Avinu specifically? And we'll see in a second. Sarah had that also. Why is it emphasized by Avraham Avinu that he was able to combine both ideas? Why? So let me just give you a background of here. We know that the world is six. It says Sheish Alafim, right? The world is divided into six millennia. We are currently in the sixth millennia, right? Right, 5784. Mashiach is going to come before the end of the sixth millennia. I hope he doesn't wait till the last minute. It's going to come very, very soon, right? Because now's the time, I think. I mean, always the time, but for sure now, right? Okay, but it says in the Gemara that these six millennia are divided into three, right? Shnei alofim toyu. The first two millennia was emptiness, chaos. Which it was, right? There was no Torah yet, there was nothing. Then Avraham Avinu, who was born in, do you know this? Avraham Avinu was born in 1948, right? Not the year of the State of Israel, but 1948 from the creation, right? Which is almost the end of the 900th year. In other words, began when he started to really be Avraham Avinu, he was already over the 2000 mark. So it's Avraham Avinu, it says, 2000 years is chaos, then 2000 years is Torah. Now, Torah wasn't given until 2448, but the preparation, the journey of Torah began with Avraham Avinu. That's the Gemara says. And then the last 2,000 years is Mashiach. And that was the real preparation of Mashiach began from the fifth millennium, right? That's what it says. See, it says like this. Let's have a look inside. Vov. Al pizeh gam yuvin maimer agamor. Now we can understand also. The Maamar Gemara that we mentioned once, Shema Avraham Avinu echelu shnei alofim Torah, that Avraham Avinu started the 2 millennia of Torah. Why? Shkeim ba'avoydu zu shla Avraham echela achona lematan Torah, kemedubar kama pa'omim pirish ma'isu avasim alubanim. Because from Avraham Avinu started the whole concept of what matan Torah symbolized. As we said, whatever happens to the forefathers is a symbol of what happens to the children. Sha'avoydu asa avais, sha'avinu izok ha'yachona lematan Torah. Because the avais, Avraham Avinu, The patriarchs and the matriarchs began the preparation for Torah beginning with Avraham Avinu. What is Matan Torah, right? So here we have to go back to a very fundamental principle. Let's go to the next page, next column up there. The Matan Torah nischade shachibur ve'ichur damayla ve'amatok meshmuv medrash. Matan Torah began the combination of above and below. What does that mean? So it's a famous medrash which is brought very, very often. One of the things that happened before Matan Torah is that there was a disconnect between heaven and earth, right? Meaning like this, there was Torah, because Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah to Mount Sinai, did not mean that was the beginning of the knowledge of Torah. That's not true. We know that Noach even learned Torah. How do we know Noach learned Torah? Because Hashem told him to take seven kosher animals for treif animals take two, and it says Tohiro kosher animals take seven. How did Noach know which is kosher, which is not? Because he learned Torah. That's what it says. I'm not making sense. It's actually what it says, right? Avraham Avinu learned Torah. Noach's son, Shem Ve'Evre, had a yeshiva. It says that the whole time that the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, there was always Torah learning. Shevet Levi, especially. There was always a yeshiva. They always learned Torah, right? But the Torah was spiritual, and the world remained physical, and there was a disconnect. That's why even the mitzvahs that were performed before Matan Torah, right, were not the same kind of mitzvahs that we do. It says the mitzvahs that were done before Matan Torah didn't have an impact on the physical world. I'll give you an example. The Zohar says, there's a whole story coming up in a few weeks with Yaakov Avinu, with the sheep, the different color sheep, and the spotted sheep, and the layered sheep, and all those kinds of, right? And the whole thing was sticks. He had dreams with sticks, and he was doing things with sticks, and colored sticks, and spotted sticks. It's a very difficult part of the Chumash. But the Zohar says, what was he doing? He was doing spiritually what tefillin does. Whatever a person does by tefillin, every mitzvah has some sort of spiritual, Kabbalistic formula behind it. What Yaakov Avinu was doing with the sticks was the same like tefillin, right? But you know what happened with those sticks? Nothing. They remained sticks. Didn't become holy, nothing. Because it was all it was done in the spiritual world, but it didn't have an impact on the physical world, right? The Medrash gives it as a moshul. The Medrash says there were two kingdoms. One lived on top, one lived in Syria and Roman. Exactly. The Medrash says Syria and Roman. And there was a gzera that the two can't meet, right? When it came Matan Torah, the whole idea of Matan Torah is that Hashem began the process by Yered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Hashem combined heaven and earth. From Matan Torah is a whole new phenomenon. They were able to combine two opposites together. They were able to take godliness, which transcends the world, and the world, which is extremely physical and conceals godliness, and put them together. This idea of taking a piece of a parchment and making it holy, taking a room, making it a shul, taking a business and making it holy by giving tzedakah and keeping halachas, all that kind of stuff, that's only after Matan Torah. Right? What began the preparation for Matan Torah? The beginning of the third millennium. Avraham Avinu. That's why, even though there were tzaddikim before Avraham Avinu, but never do we have this idea they were able to combine the Torah mitzvahs together. Right? They weren't able to do that. They had to, if they learned Torah, they learned Torah. They did good things. So there were kind people for Matan Torah, and there were learned people for Matan Torah, but they weren't together. Avraham Avinu was the ultimate combination. He was Zokain, which is self-perfection, spirituality in other words, engagement with the spiritual, connection with the spiritual, and Baba Yomim, which is impact on the world, which is totally physical. In other words, that concept of Avraham Avinu combining both was really the planting the seeds for Matan Torah. That was really what was going to happen after Matan Torah. But he paved the way. That was the idea of Zochem Baba Yomim. Just go to the next part of this page, Zayin. Right? So he says like this, because this is not just an idea in the Chumash. Right? K'moyken kol ha-sipurim shebet Torah sipur shel Avraham Zochem Baba Yomim. So this story of Rav Zochem Baba Yomim, who are Rav Avodah Seinu, it's a lesson for the way we serve Hashem. You know, I'll share with you outside, just because it's important to explain this properly. Explain it over here, but I'm going to explain to you, but I'll elaborate a bit. We'll explain in other places. So what's the lesson? What's the lesson for ourselves? Lesson is like this. That we all have these two parts to our life, right? So we find that very often some people are drawn to one over the other, right? So before, there's actually two lessons here which I'm going to share with you, and we'll do it outside because it's getting late. The one lesson is that there are people that the whole thing is always to go out and influence the world, but they don't deal with their own spiritual development, right? Which is mainly through learning Torah, but generally, I mean, Torah is a symbol of the unspiritual development, right? So it's a fundamental mistake. Why is it a fundamental mistake? And the other way is also a fundamental mistake. There are those that are only engaged in their own spiritual development, but don't really do much. I mean, it doesn't mean they don't do mitzvahs. They do mitzvahs, but they're not. They don't do what mitzvahs symbolize. In other words, they're not impacting the environment, impacting the world, or bringing it down to the world, right? So they're both terrible mistakes. Why? So let's go on with that. So first of all, if a person is not engaged with influencing the world around him or her, it's a fundamental mistake because they're actually missing the whole point of creation, right? The whole idea of creation, we said before, is that Hashem wanted a dirbet after, he wanted to dwell in this world, in the lower parts of existence. Which means the lower you go, the more you're fulfilling the mission, right? And therefore, obviously, everyone at some point is going to be involved in the physical world, but But if you're not involved in trying to impact even those areas of the world that are much lower, or those that are outside of you, or those that are less spiritual, outside the spiritual cocoon of a shul or a yeshiva, whatever the case is, then that's a problem, because a person has to be able to bring Hashem into the world, right? However, the opposite is also a fundamental mistake, right? Because you cannot bring Hashem into the world unless you first are immersed in godliness. Because bringing Hashem into the world, by definition, means revealing Hashem where it's dark, where He's not obvious, right? Elevating the physical world means elevating a part of the world where Hashem cannot be found. Now, Hashem can be found there, because ultimately Hashem is there in everything, right? In other words, it doesn't mean that where we say, we talk about the world being a place that hides Hashem's presence, doesn't mean Hashem is not there. Of course Hashem is there. Hashem is everywhere. Why? Because Hashem transcends light and darkness. Hashem transcends finite and infinite, right? I think we've explained this before. I'm not sure if in this crowd, so let me just explain it. So there's a famous Makubal, a famous Kabbalist who said the following. That just like you say that Hashem possesses the ability to be infinite, and we always say Hashem is infinite, right? But just like we say that Hashem is infinite, you also have to believe that Hashem has the ability to be finite as well. Why? Because if you say Hashem is so great, He's only infinite, you just made Him finite. Correct? Because I mean, he can only be infinite. That's a finite thing. He can be one thing, not the other. So in other words, so therefore what does it mean? It means Hashem is truly infinite. Truly infinite means He transcends both infinity and finiteness. So He can be either. He can choose to be finite, He can just be infinite. Right? I mean, Hashem, same thing. If you say Hashem is only present where He can be obviously seen, like He's only present in light, not in darkness. For us, darkness means concealed light, right? Hashem is as much present in the darkness as it is in the light, because He can manifest Himself in anything He wants to. He can manifest Himself in light, meaning revelation. He can manifest Himself in concealment. The concealment is no less Hashem than the revelation. Just to us, it's different, right? Our job is to reveal Him in the darkness, to reveal Him in the concealment, right? Yeah? The problem is that if we only go to the darkness to reveal Him, we get caught up in darkness. For us to reveal Hashem in the darkness, we need a candle. In other words, we need to really engage in spirituality first. Right? That's why there's a fascinating Gemara that says, the Gemara goes to the routine of the day, right? And the Gemara says that you have to get up each day. We find this concept manifested in many, many, many different ways. The Gemara says when a person gets up in the morning, the first thing he has to do is daven. After davening, the language of the... Not for everyone it means exactly in this order, but I mean the concept, right? In it says, Shetehei tfilosvi smucha lemitasi, that my prayer should be next to my bed, which means that that's the first thing in the day. Connect to Hashem. Then says the Gemara, mi beis hakneses le beis hamedrash. You have to go from the shul to the learning place. You have to learn Torah. And then it says, mi beis hamedrash, from the learning place, haneg bohem minak derecheretz, go and do business. Go and trade, right? Why in that order? Because that's all. And why do you have to go trade? Why do you have to go into business? It's an amazing formula. Gemara says like this, ultimately during the day, it's not just in order to make a living. How about if you have a big inheritance? No. It means you have to be engaged with the world. Bring Hashem into the world. That's what it means, right? So the last thing you do in the day is, you got to get into the world. Bring Hashem into the world. But if you want to bring Hashem into the world, you first have to immerse yourself in spirituality. If you want to reveal Hashem in the physical world, you got to first immerse yourself in spirituality. That's why you first have to daven, learn, and then you're ready to go out, right? In a different way, we find this with the Shabbos and the weekday, right? So it's a very interesting formula. Where do we actually fulfill the mission of creation? Shabbos or the weekday? The weekday. Right? Because the weekday is tachton, it's the lower part of existence. Right? That's where the whole idea. I mean, it's not there's no trick to bring Hashem into Shabbos. Shabbos is the whole world is elevated to a much higher level. So that's what's the chachma? What's the trick in bringing Hashem into Shabbos? Is there really. The idea is to go into the weekday, to descend into the weekday, right? And bring him, and reveal him there. But it's not possible unless every week you have a Shabbos. See, the way it works is like this. Because it's true that where do we fulfill the mission of creation much more? Shabbos on the weekday is the weekday. However, we have to always want to run away from the weekday. Because if you get comfortable in the weekday, that becomes your reality. You're not revealing Hashem there. You're just weekday. Right? So I've told the story many times, but I'll just tell it again because it makes it very clear. I tell the story of a guy that his Rebbe, he was a chassid, and his Rebbe called him and he said, I want you to move out of town and go to like some remote area sometimes. And then you'll teach there, you'll inspire people. So he got very upset. He said, no, Rebbe, I don't want to go. I love it here. I'm next to you. I learn from you. I'm inspired by you. Yeah. So he says, no, this is what you got to do. This is your mission. You have to move. So he sees he's getting nowhere with these Rebbe. So he says, but the Rebbe says to him, you know what? Once in a while, you can come back here to recharge your batteries. So he says to the Rebbe, okay, he sees he can't get more than that. He says to the Rebbe, okay, how often can I come back? because that's where he wants to be. He doesn't want to be. How often can I come back? So the Rebbe says to him, I'll tell you what you should do. Go there. As long as you don't want to be there and you're not uncomfortable there, you can stay there. The minute you get comfortable, come back. Right? That's the formula of Yiddishkeit. In other words, like this, you can't have Torah without mitzvahs, you can't have mitzvahs without Torah. You have to combine both. And the person has to have the focus of both. That's what Matan Torah is about. You have to combine heaven and earth, but you have to have heaven for that, and you have to have earth for that. That's why Torah and mitzvahs are both big focuses. Another way he brings it out here, which I want to finish with this, he says we find that within the person also, this can be divided up in many, many different ways. He says an amazing thing. He says everyone has their mitzvahs that they sort of comfortable with, right? And then everyone has a mitzvah where they, it's a very, very difficult thing, right? So some people, let's say every day, they give tzedakah every day, right? Or davening, they love davening. They come to a minyan, or come to shul, or dog, or daven their home, whatever. Right? But it's a different kind of mitzvah, is like so hard for them, right? So he says that within spirituality itself, that's also heaven and earth. Spiritual is eternal. It was those things that I'm consistent with, that's like the heaven in me. Right? Things that are subject to change, one day I'm in the mood, one day I'm not in the mood, one day I find it difficult, one day I manage to do it, one day I don't manage to do it. That's like the earth in me, like the world. That's like the time that has changes, right? So a person can make a mistake that he's going to stay within his comfort zone. And he's going to excel. He loves learning, he's going to keep learning. He loves doing this particular mitzvah, he'll keep doing it even better and better and better each year. But he's not going to put his emphasis, he's not going to invest in the part of, in the earth that's part of him. In other words, the part of him that's really hard. Why should I go into challenging territory? I'll stay within successful territory and do really well there. Missing the point of Yiddishkeit, if you do that. It says in Kabbalah that a person who finds a particular mitzvah difficult, that's the mitzvah that's the most important for him. That's his or her mission in this world. That's his tachtoinim. That's his or her dwelling place in this world. But you also have to strengthen the ones that you are good at. Both are needed. Right? In every part of the equation, it's got to be both. So it's going to be Torah and mitzvah. It's got to be spiritual development versus impact on the world. It's got to be the mitzvahs that I'm comfortable with versus the mitzvahs I'm not comfortable with. Both. That has to be the combination. And that's the pshat that Avraham Avinu began the process of Matan Torah because Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomim. He was both Zokein and he was Bo Bayomim. Zokein is the spirituality, the Torah, the spiritual development, the personal development, the things that go well. Very, very important. Bo Bayomim is the impact on the world through mitzvahs and through physical engagement and so on and so forth. Right? Now he goes, at the very end, he goes back. This is the Medrash also about Sarah. Why does it say specifically by Sarah, Yerdeya Hashem Yimei Tamimim, that Hashem knows the days of the perfect? That just like they are perfect, their days are perfect. Same idea. Avraham and Sarah was a partnership. They both began the journey of Matan Torah. It's easier to explain in the Pasuk of Zok and Baba Yamin, but once you understand it there, you bring it back to Sarah's Pasuk. Just like she was perfect, her days were perfect. Not every tzaddik's like that, especially before Sarah. But what she started was a similar thing to what Avraham Avinu started. Together, they started the journey of the giving of the Torah. Just like she was perfect, meaning her spirituality was perfect, her own spiritual development, so to her days, the physicality, the world was also perfect. It was a combination of both. And that's that pasuk brought in the very beginning, and that's the depth of that idea. So the combination of Sarah, she being perfect, they's being perfect, is similar to the idea of the pasuk by Avraham Avinu, that he was both Zaki and Abba Yamim, and that's the combination of the physical and the spiritual, the heaven and the earth, the personal perfection versus impact on the world, and that begins the journey of Matan Torah, and that's what we have to do. That's the same avodah that we have. That we have to engage in both things. Every person has to engage. Now, some people do want more one than the other, and that's okay, because everyone has their mission. And that's okay. Some people, the emphasis is one more than the other, because we, just like we have to have both, the world has to have both also. Like, we need tzaddikim that don't, are not so into the world, but they model of spirituality. Is it right? But everyone, at some level, has to do both. All right.